Welcome to the Mystery Stone Podcast. I am CJ, here with...
The Great Mike, back once again.
Hey!
How you guys doing?
Last episode, we talked about Western esotericism. I've officially learned how to say that word. And today, we're going a little bit of a different route, more back to some more foundational things, just stuff that'll let you guys really get prepared to start practicing more in your own path. Mike, if you don't mind, what are we talking about today?
All right, guys. So today we're going to be talking about the topics of meditation, contemplation, and touching on what grounding is. And these are very important practices to have, even just for well-being, especially in magic as well. But for well-being, as we're going to hear, meditation has many benefits if done properly, and there's various different techniques, as well as contemplation and grounding. They all kind of go together to some degree. And in magic, meditation is an extremely important tool to help hone the mind and be able to have better focus. So yeah, that's pretty much a quick introduction into what we're going to be speaking about today.
Yeah, I actually want to lead in by doing a little bit of a clarification in two separate definitions. You have today's real mainstream forms of meditation, which really only hit 2 out of 3 major steps, and then you have something called true meditation. Just by definition, meditation in itself is, it's originally an Eastern concept, and it focuses on silencing the mind and your inner voice, which is very, very different than what you would see in a dictionary, where a dictionary just defines it as a form of contemplation. And a lot of mainstream meditation will also define it that way, where they'll give you an object or a sound to focus on and just have you focus on that object or sound for half an hour or 20 minutes or however long you're going to do it for.
Yeah, it's kind of like focusing on the breath too. And it's just right. Like some having some type of like thing you focus on, keep bringing your attention back to that over and over again to strengthen that focus muscle, whatever you want to call it, in the brain.
Right.
Yeah.
But it neglects the third step, which we'll get to. Yeah. But there's a difference between true meditation and just what people define as meditation today. Now, don't get me wrong. If you go ahead and purchase, books or programs on meditation, there's a lot of valuable lessons to have through those things. But they're typically speaking nowadays not complete.
Yeah. That's another thing is like a lot of these programs, they offer great, there's like a lot of, guided meditations and a lot of videos where you listen to certain types of music and frequencies, and there's like a teacher guiding you through the whole thing, or even just a lot of the mainstream ideas of meditation, while they may have certain effects, they're not necessarily the most effective. There's a lot of structured types of meditations that we're going to be getting into, various different forms that come from different schools of thought, and they all have their own objective, their own aim, and their own set of effects that it will have on the mind and body. But yeah, a good definition that I've came across involving meditation to complement CJ's is it's a practice where an individual uses a technique, such as focusing the mind on a particular object, thought, or activity, to train attention and awareness and achieve a mentally clear and emotionally calm and stable state. So yeah, that's like a foundational idea for what that is.
Mm-hmm. Let's expand on that even a little bit more then. A lot of people, when they do sit down to meditate or they do these classes and whatnot, it really is like they're just looking to focus their mind.
Yeah.
Where the true form of meditation, the idea behind it is to connect you to divinity. So when you calm your inner voice, you can erase your inner voice and empty your head. It's supposed to connect you to whatever divine being. Typically, a lot of people tell you like the source, God, something like that, because in that emptiness, all information exists, and that's the philosophy behind it. So it's supposed to be like a very spiritual connection with your deities.
Yeah, it can also be a connection with the self within, like transcending the mind and all these things and getting to the essence within, the spirit within, which, is the little, omniscient void, I like to call it. That you can extract truth from, wisdom from. It's a tool for just transcending all the chaos and the ripples that the thoughts of the mind kind of invades on the peace, that can reside underneath that. In terms of like the origins of meditation, though, it's interesting that the origins of meditation and its earliest inception that we had found came from wall art in India from around like 5,000 BC to 3,500 BC. So people have been sitting around just chilling, you know what I mean, for a long time. it's been a really ancient practice. And the oldest written evidence that we have of this form of practice comes from, I believe, the 1500, around 1500 BC, and it was found in the Vedas, which was like the one of the oldest and most important Hindu scriptures around. So it's had a lot of substance in the past, and it's thankfully resurfacing a lot in modern day society. But the key is just, you know, to do it properly and to make sure that people are doing it in the most effective way.
What's really neat about the Hindu version, later on, Hebrew has forms of meditation as well that are almost exactly the same as Hindu, even though at the time period they had no contact. So they developed these very identical processes without communicating them to each other.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of like how we see like pyramids all across the world, you know, like these same type of structures or like language evolving and structures evolving, or, you know, technologies evolving all across the world at the same time. It's as if it's like there's something like in the collective unconscious that we are all a part of, that these things just get extracted and we evolve alongside of each other, no matter how far away someone is or like how far away a certain culture is. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Really, well, we kind of just went over like real bookish definitions, you know?
Yeah,
so I kind of want to know, Mike, like, when it comes to things like meditation and grounding, like, what does that mean to you? Like, do you personally, like, do you use it to connect to your deities? Do you use it to balance yourself? Are you just trying to calm? Like, what are you trying to accomplish when you do your meditation?
I personally meditate every single day. I have my own set of spiritual practices I personally do every day with my own individual goals. But, you know, it really depends on what I'm trying to do or what I'm trying to accomplish. There's various different types of meditations that we'll see here. And for me, I typically do it to, you know, as people come to know, I deal with, you know, sleeping issues, at least currently, anxiety, you know, depression, all those things that a lot of people, you know, deal with nowadays, you know. So me personally, meditation along with the spiritual practices for their own endeavors, it helps me to calm my mind a lot more and at least bring me more to the present moment. So I use it for just to still the mind. I use it for benefits to still the mind at night, to relax. And I do it as well just to kind of, to disintegrate the ego and just kind of loosen up the mind for a while and kind of see beyond the chaos that your thoughts provide if unchained. So that's what I personally do. And of course, there's a lot of effects that meditation has scientifically. Like I said, it eases depression and anxiety. It helps with negative thoughts, negative energy. It helps eradicate a lot of that stuff, because a lot of our energies and a lot of our how we feel every day comes from our thoughts, whether we're conscious of them or not. And oftentimes, like I was saying, if they're unchained, they can turn into like carnal problems or worries or insecurities or anxieties or all these things that lessen our effectiveness as a human being and create more tension in the world. And you know, this stuff gets projected on other people and other circumstances instead of actually attacking the root, which is something within us. Another thing is, like, scientifically, it eases our pain tolerance. It increases pain tolerance and increases our self-awareness, because when we meditate, we become more aware of our style of thinking and we become more aware of the chaos within. And we can start to see these things happening in real time, just in our everyday life. That has definitely helped me. Like, say, like, if someone is like, I'm feeling triggered by somebody who is saying something disrespectful to me, or quote unquote me, you know, or just someone's not treating me the way I would like them to treat me. It's a little easier. I mean, I'm not saying it's possible every single time. I mean, sometimes we get worn down, you know, sometimes we get vulnerable in life, you know, it's just our defenses are down and it's not as easy to do so. But regardless of that, I'm constantly always aware of what's happening within my mind and what type of reaction might happen, or an anticipation based off of what's going on around me. So it's just the self-awareness is a huge one, and it can help us. It can prevent us from our impulses. It kind of creates like a space between our impulse to action and the action itself, where we can actually observe the in-between stage of those two and allow us to actually control our response instead of having this like unconscious robotic reaction, which might result in like anger or hostility and like separation. And there's more problems that might come if we didn't have this like little time period of self-awareness between impulse and action from the outside world.
Yeah. You mentioned scientific ends for meditation. And I actually learned something new while doing research for this episode, and that regular practitioners of meditation display higher IQs and lowered blood pressure.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. like, while that isn't necessarily the main goal of meditation itself, it is like a really nice byproduct.
Right? Yeah.
And I can see why it works. You're clearing out your mind. You're letting mm-hmm. go of the things that are distracting you, and it really gives you that opportunity to focus on the things that are important. And lowering your blood pressure obviously has its benefits, where you're not hypertense, your heart's not racing, you're not trapped in emotion at that point anymore. So
yeah, it's another good point. Yeah, it slows down your heart rate, and also is scientifically supposed to increase the length of what you call telomeres. And telomeres are these things that I believe attach to the end of the chromosomes in our body. And throughout time, they shorten and they lose their strength. And that creates aging in the body. So it also is a good agent to slow aging. So all those people out there, who are interested in preserving themselves, that's another important benefit of meditation as well. So yeah, and the like CJ said, the stress relief, it decreases the cortisol and adrenaline running through our bodies based off of the stress we deal with and the chaotic thoughts. So yeah, it's just all around a good practice if one has the self-discipline and interest enough to pursue it and stick with it.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess next we can really just talk like the most basic form of meditation, which you brought up right at the beginning, grounding.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is. I love how it rains every time.
It rains every time.
It's fantastic. Like, such a good sign.
Yeah, like last episode during the Rosicrucian thing, there was like I think it was a thunderstorm. Hopefully it caught in the recording, but yeah, now we got some rain.
I love when the water comes down like that. Water's the basis of life. It always represents new beginnings. So
yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it has a nice little calming effect,
Right.
This
right.
little calming effect to the waters we have here.
Yeah. But the grounding is something that I personally do. I haven't really done complete meditation practices. I have a 3-year-old in the house. It's really tough to get that done.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah. But I do grounding quite a bit. And grounding sometimes takes me 5 minutes. Sometimes it takes me half an hour. Usually it's a pretty quick process for me. The idea of grounding in itself, I'm going to quote this from a book called Witchcraft for Beginners. It's by Leandra Witchwood. If anybody's wondering at all about where I get some of my information, it's one of the books that I love to read. But grounding is the act of taking excess or extra energy that you've summoned or created and sending it away from you. It's a super simple process that within the book, the author actually talks about how a lot of teachers and even beginners will skim through it because it's super simple, but it really is a foundational concept, not only for meditation, but for many practice throughout your magical path. So the idea is that everything you touch, people you interact with, the thoughts you generate, everything that does this builds up energy for you. Now, building up energy is not necessarily a bad thing. If you have an extra store of energy, if you're going to be doing some like extravagant ritual or something like that, that can actually be very beneficial. But a lot of the times when you have this excess energy built up within you, and I'm going to quote the book again, but you can become overstimulated, jittery, jumpy, tense, anxious for no reason, lightheaded, nauseous. You can experience brain fog, headaches, loud ringing in your ears. We can expand on that and go with you can experience depression, anxiety, things like that. And this is built up energy within you. And grounding is a super simple process that allows you to release that energy. And the wonderful thing about that is the earth itself, which is where we get most of our energy from, being human beings, is always willing to accept any energy you're willing to put back into it. I use a very simple process for this. I like to be barefoot. I always feel like I have a better connection. Walk out. I like to be in soil. Some people just like to be on grass. Some people on stone. Whatever's going to connect you to the earth and you're going to feel most comfortable with, really, just go with that. And really just, you have to close your eyes, breathe in deep, and focus on taking all of that extra energy and bringing it into the core of your being, right into the center of your body, and then just focus on bringing it down through your legs, out through your feet, and into the earth. Simple. Just focus, breathe, and just focus on doing that. And you can oftentimes really physically feel that energy exiting your body, and it's so relieving.
Yeah, and the whole process actually is supposed to be also due to the ions that the Earth has just in its own electromagnetic field or in its own energy. Like, we're supposed to be able to we're supposed to be able to assimilate the negative ions that the Earth has and bring them into our body. And in that whole process, we are become less heady. You know, we're less our focus and attention is like less in our heads. You know, a lot of people are stuck in their heads. You know, a lot of people are worrying. You know, anxiety ridden, all these things. Which I fully understand, and it brings you back down into your body throughout the quote unquote grounding process. I think grounding in itself is a practice that's been thousands of years old, but it's just gaining more popularity nowadays. I think back in the day, this whole grounding thing was just natural. Like, you have like cavemen or whatever you want to call them, the more proto humans that we have today, you know, just earlier humans that we have. They were always in the wild, you know, walking around in the grass or just with nature. They were like, they're way, way more a part of nature and in tune with nature. So that was probably their natural state. Whereas now it's become a practice, you know? So it's interesting how something that was so normal in a lifestyle we've been so far removed from, to the point where we can just feel the effects from it so much. Another interesting thing that I personally use involving grounding, we're going to be going back to the meditation types pretty soon. But in terms of like the area of grounding, I personally have on my bed, because of the sleep-related issues, anxiety, all those things, I have this sheet that is kind of pricey. It's like $130. It's a little pricey. And it's a sheet that you put over your bed and you lay on it every night instead of just a regular sheet. And it has like this, like these, I think it's like nickel or some type of metal grid that lines the sheet on the inside of it. And you plug the sheet. There's like a little port on the side of the sheet that goes around your bed. You plug that into the grounding port in a socket in your wall, and it connects you to Earth's to the Earth. So you're literally grounding yourself while you're sleeping. And these sheets have been shown to reduce inflammation, which happens from actually grounding. If you're, you know, like she just said, if you're walking outside in the dirt or in the soil, or just normally, you know, the transference of ions, that reduces inflammation, which in turn can prevent somebody from having all types of diseases, all types of disorders that stem from inflammation, which is why it's always good to take, you know, turmeric, you know, the seasoning is really good for that too. These are all really important things. But yeah, so this sheet, I definitely, you feel a little type of like, you feel some type of interesting tingly / magnetic / but it's very subtle. You know, it's like, it's not overwhelming. And you feel the sensation as you're laying on the sheet, and it does, for me personally, as well as others who I know who have had them, it does seem to reduce the feelings of unease, or it does seem to like calm the body just a little bit. You know, it's a nice little relaxation type of tool to have, you know, especially overnight. You're getting 8 hours of just positive impact on your body. And studies have shown through graphs, inflammation, like I said, is reduced. And I don't know, for me, that's just one personal area of grounding that I use. I don't personally go outside too often and walk around the dirt. I mean, I should barefoot, you know what I mean? You know, it's probably one of the more natural things I should endeavor to do, you know what I mean? But that's my personal practice of grounding. Also, I kind of feel like that's, maybe it's not really directly related to the traditional idea of grounding. But to me, like, grounding is also any other, I guess it's more subjective, but grounding to me would just be like any type of practice that allows you to get out of your head and back into the present moment, or into your body, you know, stop being so scattered and get you into the present. You just kind of ground yourself in the moment. And things that have helped me to do that, just anything for me that's nostalgic, you know, anything that related to my past, that have roots in my past, that I've always had some type of inner association with. And I would do those things. And just whatever you guys have that takes you out of the craziness of everything happening around you, and just something that brings you back home, you know, is a form of grounding to me, at least. But well, yeah.
Yeah, grounding comes in all these different forms. Like, everything you just said is completely a legitimate way to do it. There's no one way where someone's like, well, this is the only way you can. There's even more complicated forms of grounding. There's one commonly referred to as the relaxation ritual. You can do this on your sofa. A lot of people will like to, you know, remove their shirt or something to really give as much skin exposure as they can to the ground outside, and like lay down in the grass to do this. But the idea is that you close your eyes, you take a deep breath, and you visualize a golden sphere of light above you. And then you visualize that sphere moving over your different areas of your body, down your arms, across each finger, down your legs, your toes. And as this light moves over you, it's supposed to relieve you of stress and anxieties and things like that. And that's another form of grounding. It's a little more complicated than just standing there.
Yeah, it uses a lot more mental effort, right? It's a ritual, you know, it uses mental effort, right? And visualization.
Yeah. But it's grounding.
Yeah, and that probably even sometimes might even work better, especially if you have a trained imagination or an active one, because when you use visualization and the imagination and your will and all these things while using material means to achieve an end such as grounding, the effects can be much, much more powerful, which goes back to the magic concept. You know, that's part of that as well. So, and overlooked, you know, a lot of people claim to be pseudoscience or whatever, but whether it's a placebo effect or not, it doesn't really matter. You know, crystals and stones are said to have energies associated with them. And there's many, many practices out there where people hold certain stones during meditations or gemstones or crystals, like in their hand, or at least have them on a grid or around their vicinity while they're meditating, that are supposed to have certain type of frequencies and effects upon the psyche and the body. And such examples that are supposed to be good for these grounding, certain stones that are supposed to be good for grounding are quartz, lodestone, black tourmaline, and obsidian. So, and I'm sure there's a bunch of others as well. But yeah, you just hold it in your hand, meditate with it, or just have it around you. And at the very least, psychologically knowing that you're attempting to do something that you're in, that you want to be grounded, that you're taking effort and action. And doing these practices to instigate that feeling is all the better. And it's better than nothing, at the very least. So, yes, that's another point of grounding as well. But, yeah, I don't know if there's anything else to say about grounding before we speak about meditation again.
I don't think so. Honestly, it's really, that's what I've got.
Yeah, and grounding could be a good precursor to meditation too, because like meditation as well can take time. Like sometimes it takes people maybe even 20, 40, half hour to even start to still the mind a little bit and slow it down. Whereas grounding could be like a nice like intro routine and ritual one can do to still the mind or still the energies within before you meditate. So it's a nice little complimentary exercise.
And people often will use grounding as well for practice, you know, anything you're doing, if you're doing jar spells, if you're doing rituals or anything that you're doing.
It's all energy, right? It's all energy work. You have to have the proper energies in their place.
Yeah, definitely not having anything chaotically going on with you mentally or with your energy really is, it's anything, it's beneficial, you know?
Yeah. In terms of meditation, a lot of people have this like loose idea as to what it is. A lot of people have this idea, just like someone sitting there in a chair or lying down or wherever they're at and kind of just sitting there and not doing anything, or at the very least focusing on their breath. I mean, while this is a form of meditation, it's not the only kind, and there's various different kinds, as we mentioned earlier. And I'd say the most common form of meditation, and it could be even an active meditation just throughout your day, or it can be passive, like sitting in a chair and doing these things, is mindfulness meditation. I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard, you know, the whole mindful concept, and you know, just about your day, or mindfulness meditation.
It's a big fad right now.
Yeah, it's a huge fad.
It really is.
It's like the mainstream, at least Western in America, like the mainstream thing being pushed in terms of meditation, which is a good start. You know what I mean? A lot of times in America, we take things and sensationalize them and make our own spinoffs to try to make money, or you know, make a fad out of something that's serious, extremely beneficial, or even water it down and dilute it. But yeah, mindfulness is an important exercise if done properly. And all it really entails is you just sitting down, or like with any meditation practice for the most part, unless it's specific, you can either be sitting down in a chair, not too comfortable, because if you're too comfortable, then you might ease into just getting tired.
Or, go to sleep.
Yeah, go to sleep. You know what I mean? You have to maintain a certain theta brainwave state. We all have different brainwave states, like alpha, beta, theta, and I think gamma as well. And so you want to keep yourself in theta brainwave state, and that's when it's a lot more slower, and you can access deeper and more interesting modes of consciousness. So with mindfulness, like I was saying, you sit down in a chair, or you lie down, but if you're lying down, just, you know that, try not to fall asleep, and just, it's a lot more easy to do that. So I like to do it sitting down. And when you're sitting down, you just focus on your breath, but not too intently, to the point where it's like all you're thinking of. Like, you just want to realize your breath and just be aware of your breath, like the inhale, the exhale. How does it feel? Your bodily sensations, how do they feel? Your environment around you. And you can have your eyes open or closed. It doesn't really matter. I like to have them closed. That's, I think, also more traditional as well. And just focusing as much as you can on the present moment and the sensations in your body, and you know, kind of primarily just focus on the inhale and exhale of your breath if you want to make that your sole focus. And if you have any thoughts coming through your mind, they're kind of like clouds in the sky, you know? You're just kind of sitting there just watching them go by, and you're just kind of waiting for the moments of clarity and just to try to slow those clouds down a little bit. And normal, ordinary consciousness, a lot of us are, you know, addicted to thinking, or very addicted to thinking, and we get lost in thought so easily, and it really clouds and blurs our vision. Like, even if you're sitting down, and if you start to become aware of this, like, say you're sitting somewhere, and you're, like, really focused on something, you're focused on what's happening, or you're focused on somebody talking, and then all of a sudden, thoughts start to intrude in your mind, and you might not even be conscious of this happening until you snap out of it. But if you realize the transition between when you're focused on someone speaking, or just focused on a scene around you, and then thoughts start coming through your mind, you'll notice that you start to go looking at your thoughts more, and what's happening in front of you starts be like more dim, and it goes into the background, and it's less, like, it becomes like almost blurry because you're not focused on it anymore. So during meditation, mindfulness really helps these, you know, end game in terms of like life situations, where when you do these exercises, and I'll just allow the thoughts, like acknowledge that the thought's there, but don't entertain it. Don't associate yourself with it. Kind of see it external to yourself and realize that the thought is not you. It's just something coming into, you know, the antenna of your mind, and just being able to watch it, you know, accept it for what it is and allow it to pass, and just try not to attach any type of emotion to it, you know, not to attach any type of memory to it. And just let it go. Just let it go by. And over time, the more and more you do this, the more and more it's easier to do this and your ordinary every day and your interactions. And like those things that I mentioned before, like if someone's trying to bring you down or whatever's going on external to yourself, you have a lot more control over how you're going to react to that, instead of like attributing yourself and your identity to it and getting your ego mixed up in the process.
Yeah, like the biggest thing to remember when it comes to the meditational process is, though we're providing instruction and insight onto what it is today, the first time you do it, you're going to have things going on in your head like, am I doing it? Yeah. How long do I have to do this for? It's normal. These things pass with practice. This is not something you're going to sit down and do well right away.
Absolutely not.
This is going to take... Not. I mean, some people, they catch on quickly, but some of the people... Somebody could take people weeks and months to really get it down. And if you find that you really want to take part in this practice and do meditational work, try to be patient with not only everything around you, but be patient with yourself.
Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah, because it really, it really can be frustrating if you're trying to do something and you're not getting those results that you want to. And like, oh, I heard these guys on the podcast and they said to do this and it's not working for me. It's probably not. They're going to be the first, second, or third time you try it. It's probably not going to. You really have to train yourself to do it. And it can be a frustrating and a daunting task. And just don't give up on it. Just keep working with it. And it will come to you.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you have to have the self-discipline and some type of internal motivation to even start doing. And I mean, even if one doesn't have that and one is interested in a practice, which you know, you've heard has all these various positive impacts on the body, and it has in my life as well. You know, it's just a simple search online or even YouTube or any type of Google search. You know, search the effects of meditation, like search the actual science behind it. And maybe they'll give you like a little motivation into trying. And another thing is when starting meditation, like start slow, like set yourself a small goal. And even though you might not in your mind be successful, as long as you tried, that's all that matters. That's a success. That's another rung on the ladder, you know, that you moved up. And yeah, you are essentially putting a wild man into a cage. Like the wild man would be your brain, like your mind, and it's racing thoughts. And you're putting it in a cage. You're telling it to calm down. Like after all this time, it's essentially putting your mind in a straitjacket when you're sitting down, and it's going to try to break loose as much as it can. You know, eventually it loses energy, it loses effort, it sees the futility in it. And it, you know, over time starts to slow down. And even seasoned meditators, you know, I've been meditating for a decent time in my life. There's many days where you're not quote unquote successful. And that's a wrong term to put toward it, because not every single time you meditate are you're going to achieve deep states, or you're going to achieve states that you once thought you were successful. And like just the simple act of sitting down and doing nothing is successful. That's successful, especially in modern day times in the hyper competitive culture we live in. So you just set yourself a little goal. Start at 5 minutes. I mean, that can be hard for a lot of people. Even if it's really serious, start with 1 minute, 2 minute. Just sit there, you know, and just do those little basic things. So like focus on your breath, or just focus on your mind, and just try to disconnect from it, and just be aware. And that's it. And the more you do it, you know, the more you'll start to like it. It might take you a week, might take you 2 weeks, and when you start to get used to the time, increase the time a little bit. Maybe go from 5 minutes to 10 minutes, and see how you, and it's also journaling might be good in this process. Journal down, you know, like the nature of your thoughts, the nature of your patterns. Like in this way, you start to explore yourself more. You start to see the cracks in the road. You start to see the things that make yourself up. You start to analyze yourself more. And in this process, it's one of the easiest ways and fastest ways to quicken your growth. So, and if it's really boring for you, and even for people who do it normally, it's always fun and interesting to add incenses to the practice. You know, you light an incense or put a diffuser with an essential oil in it. Lavender and chamomile are really good for that, relaxation and sleep. Lavender and chamomile are pretty popular for just relaxation and meditation. So you can put that in an incense, essential oils, and just set a place in your house that where you do this, so it becomes associated with your place of practice. And so that might be easier to get your mind into the flow of meditation, or even put on a track. Because a lot of people, it's not easy for a lot of people to just sit there in the silence, you know, which for me, I think is the best way to do it eventually when you get to that point without any external stimulus in terms of sound. But yeah, you could set a track there, put some peaceful music on, or even play like your favorite artist, or just something that's not too, you know, something that's not going to grab all your attention and take you away from the focal point or the mission, the meditation. Just anything that can help you ease into that. And slowly, progressively, you'll start to see, notice yourself getting better and liking the process more. Yeah. So that's mindfulness meditation.
Yeah. And we really brought up the concept just now of how much time you should take to do it. And it really reminds me of something that I read this a while back. It was something that Dalai Lama had said when conversing with a man about meditation. He said, if you look at meditation and you say, wow, I don't have 15 minutes a day to do that, then you should do it for half an hour.
And if you just force yourself to do it, man.
Yeah. And if you say, I don't have half an hour, then you should do it for an hour.
It's like at that point, it's like, damn, man, if I don't have an hour, do it. 2 hours is long, but at least do it for an hour.
it's really just like that concept, that tension that, oh, I don't have time for this. Make the time for it, you know? And you'll find that you really can. If you really, really want to, this is something you really want to do for yourself, you can make the time for it.
Yeah, or just any form of self-improvement, you know? I think this is a really good practice to start really deep self-improvement.
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't even have to be every day. You can wait until you're feeling tense to do it if you want to. I wouldn't recommend that. You know, sometimes we like to strike, you know, before the iron is hot, you know? Mm-hmm. To be honest, this isn't like something you have to do every day. You can do it once, twice a week, three times a week, whatever works for you.
Yeah, it's ideal if you guys want to see like the fastest effects. It's ideal to do it every single day, but I mean you don't have to. And just even doing it like once here and there, a couple times a week, it at least is building discipline within yourself. And this discipline and just the fact that you're trying to do something to better yourself, that idea is going to impact your psychology much more than you can imagine if you're stagnant in your life. If you're going through the same routines and you're not working to better yourself, or you have issues, or you want to understand who you are better. Just doing it here and there, it's great, and it's really important.
Yeah, and for those of you who have a copy of Modern Magic, which is a fantastic book to have, it'll really set a pace for you along your journey. It's a great first book to get your hands on, you know, if you don't have any yet, or even if you do have some books, it's a great book altogether. But on pages 98 through 101 is a brief description of meditation as well. You can read for yourself, and it has a set of steps that you can take. I'll do a brief overview of it. I'm not going to read 3 pages worth of book content. Mm-hmm. Not that I don't want to, but because I don't think it's legal. So, in that book, it describes that there are 3 main steps. We mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, to meditation. The first 2 steps are what you're going to get when you look at very modern day fad meditation. That first step is relaxation. Mike really brought into that. Don't get too comfortable. But the idea is that you're going to remove physical tension and physical pain from your body. And then just get into a position where you'll be okay to sit for a little while or stand. Some people do it while they stand.
You can stand too.
Some people walk. I know it's a Shinto practice to walk and count your breaths.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
And then the next step is contemplation. This is where very modern day forms of meditation seem to end. You'll focus on a single image. You'll focus on a sound, maybe a drawn picture, an object, something simple like a bowling pin or a ball. And then you will focus on that and do everything you can to not have other intrusive thoughts. The third step is negation. Now, that's where you eliminate that visualization or that sound from your mind. And that's really what Mike was talking about previously, where you don't have anything going on in there. And how did you put that? Where you were allowing it to pass, I believe?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's a good way to look at it, like kind of just viewing the thoughts as clouds in the sky and or else like the wind going across the water. Say your thoughts are like the wind and your mind is like the water. The wind is gonna agitate the water. It's gonna make a ripple. It's gonna agitate its calm, its harmony, and its peace. And the reflection that the water is reflecting, and even its depths, the things that you can see in its depths might become distorted because of the ripples, because of the agitation. And when you are allowing that draft, that wind to settle down and slow it down to the point where it no longer affects or, you know, creates the ripples in your mind as much as it used to, then you start to see things with a lot more clarity, start to see things a lot more lucidly, and you start to see it without the ego getting involved. The ego meaning, like, you know, just whatever the ego is after or what it's trying to do or, you know, just the egocentric part of the mind, the animalistic part of the mind. It kind of calms that down. You can start to see things for what they really are. That's a good way to look at the thoughts. And I believe that book was by Donald Michael Craig, right? Yeah, Donald Michael Craig. Yeah, so Modern Magic, just a side note, it's a self-initiation book into the magical tradition. It's a form of self-initiation into the magical tradition. Say if you don't have like a mystery school to go to, or you're not involved in any type of group, collective, or you're not part of any order to transcend the mind or help in magic, that is a self-initiation book. Along with another really, really good one out there is one by Franz Bardon. He was a French magician who Hitler was actually after. because of his ability. And he wrote a great series of books, one being Initiation in Hermetics, which is the first one where you initiate yourself, and it has a whole bunch of practices into how to use the mind as a tool, and he has two other books. I think the second book is about the practice of evocation. The third is about the true keys of the Kabbalah. So yeah, that's a whole digression, but just to elucidate what that Modern Magic book in its whole really is.
Yeah. Now, the Modern Magic book has a technique for true meditation, and it goes through eight steps.
Yeah. There we go.
This is complicated, and it involves learning a couple of things ahead of time that we will be going over in future episodes. And it's actually a couple of things I need to learn how to do myself. Step one is they'd say the relaxation ritual. Grounding is acceptable. You know, the relaxation ritual, I've done that myself several times, and it's great. Your neighbors will look at you funny if you're laying in your yard. They might think something's wrong. They might come to check up on you.
It's like, yo, you good, man? What you doing, man?
I mean, if you don't care, I personally don't care. I think it's hilarious, dude. You are. I'm like, I'm
right. So maybe do it at night if you're self-conscious, which I would probably do, but
why are you in my yard? They want you to do the relaxation ritual. Step two is the LBRP.
Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram. Yeah, and this is like a magical approach to this, by the way.
It is. Yeah, it's a whole ritual for meditation. But
yeah.
The LBRP, which is definitely 100% something we are going to discuss in a future episode.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I do daily. Very important.
The idea is that it moves negative spirits and negative energies completely away from your being. It's like a nuclear bomb. negativity.
It's essentially like a cleansing ritual, and use a lot of visualizations, but yeah.
The next step, they want you to kind of use your major arcana cards if you have a tarot deck. This comes by into step six, where we get to the visualizing aspect. It basically gives you an object to visualize. Step four, they want you to do the relaxation ritual again.
This is where the neighbors look at you even crazier.
Because now you're like playing with cards, and now you're sleeping in the grass again.
Yeah, now you're sleeping.
Which is fine. I mean,
yeah, fine.
When I do grounding in the backyard, my neighbors definitely watch me. And like when I'm done, like they definitely have like the rock eyebrow like raised. Like, what is this wacko?
So you start to do it back to them. It's like.
No, I usually like wave and smile, and like I walk away like a complete creeper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, that's whatever, great. Dude. Like, mind your business. I'm in my yard.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
I'm just chilling, dude. That's all.
Yeah. Five, they call it scanning. This is where the concept is very much so, like, if you have a scanner at home for your printer or something like that, where you're scanning down that card and memorizing it. They have a very long, drawn-out process for how to do that. I've personally never done this, but you know, if it's going to work for you, great. Whatever helps you get there.
Yeah. Whatever works.
Step six is the contemplation. You're focusing on that card, you know, whatever it is that you took from it, your inner visualization of the card that you have. Step seven is negation. Their description of that is you start in the top left corner of the card in your mind, and you slowly begin to erase the card. Mind you, if you do all of these steps, this is going to take some time.
Yeah, it's a much different approach to meditation. It's a magical approach. And it uses the mind and visualizations and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's fantastic.
It is.
It is, but you really need some time to pull this one off.
Mm-hmm. This is probably for someone who's a little bit more maybe adept at it or more interested in exploring the avenues of it.
Yeah. I also want you guys to keep in mind that modern magic puts a very strong emphasis on connecting with the divine, whatever being, your deity, your patron spirit, whatever it is that you're using, it puts a very strong reference. They reference God in the book. The final step, step eight, is the state of true meditation. And that's where your mind is completely erased. There's nothing going on there, and you are now one with the divine for however long you spend doing that. Allowing yourself to become centered and balanced.
Yeah, that's also really relative to the practice of transcendental meditation, which is one I really appreciate as well. And that's when you use mantra, like mantric type meditation style. And mantric meditation is where you have a certain mantra and you repeat it over and over and over in your mind, just repetitively over and over and over, like incessantly, until you reach a point where that's all you're thinking of and you become that statement, and then you move beyond that statement and then you're just still. And then you don't think about that statement anymore, and you're connected to this ocean of infinite consciousness, and you feel yourself as a part of that, and you feel integrated into it, and it kind of removes you from the ego's illusion of duality within the world, you know, and it's identification with that. It's a really important and known style of meditation, and that's relative to mantric meditation, and also with the form of mantric meditation, you can even get creative with that. And say you have any type of issues that you're trying to work on in life. This is where you craft your own statement. Say you're lacking confidence, or you're lacking self-esteem, or you're just lacking something, or you want to prove in something. If it's relative to lacking self-confidence, you would create the statement, I am confident, or I am confident because I am blank, or just whatever you find positive about yourself. And you just have that statement, you write it out in a specific manner, and it always has to be a positive manner. You never want to make mantras or any type of sayings that you repeat in your mind have any negative connotation. So you never want to use the words fear, not, you know, just anything has a negative connotation to the word. So you say, I am confident because I am, I don't know, just whatever it is. And you repeat that statement, or even just simple, I am confident. And you go in a meditative state, you go into a trance-like theta brainwave state, you repeat that mantra in a rhythmic manner over and over and over again, and that allows you to have better access to your subconscious, because the walls between your conscious mind and your subconscious mind have been reduced, and the veil is thinned. So it's a lot more easier to imprint into your subconscious mind. And that's really relative to sigil magic. If you're creating a sigil, you can create a sigil from mantras, and you can create, and you do the same style of meditation, but you do this with your eyes open. And when you create the sigil, which we'll most likely go over in a future episode, sigil magic, you know, all these things that we're speaking about now as a digression, the sigil aids as a symbol, because their subconscious is made of symbols and archetypes. So you just gaze in a trance-like state, in a meditative state, at the sigil, and it imprints into your subconscious over time. And the repetition, since that's what all held beliefs are and all thoughts are in the mind, is because of repetitive patterns that we've used our mind for, you'll start to notice or feel some type of internal change that will eventually will manifest itself in an external change if you keep up with it. So that's mantric meditation. I'm just going to go over a couple forms of meditation before we close on the topic of meditation. And then we have Zen meditation. That's a really popular one too, which its actual name is Zazen meditation. And that is a Zen Buddhist style meditation. Buddhists use this, or, you know, just whoever. And that's where you sit on the floor typically. There's a bunch of positions you can sit in. But, you know, the lotus position is pretty standard with this one. And you sit with your back up, and you have this pillow that you sit on to help to give you support. And during this meditation, you have your hands, your arms resting on your lap, and your legs are crossed, and your hands are kind of like interweaved in like a circular formation. And what's interesting with this type of meditation is that your eyes are open, but they're open in a slight manner, and they're gazing at the ground. So your eyes are open during this whole entire meditation. The object is just, as far as I know, is just to bring yourself into the present moment, except your eyes are open. So you learn to disassociate yourself from, you know, the objects around you, the separateness of everything, and you go into that same state of mind. So that's interesting. And like I mentioned before, there's guided meditations. You know, there's plenty of apps on your phone that are creative, have a lot of teachers, a lot of styles, and they guide you through the whole thing. You have a teacher, a guide, and you know, just whatever object you're trying to attain, you can find anything you'd like, you know, in that area. One tool that I've found that was very fun and interesting to use with meditation, I don't know if you've ever heard of them before, like float tanks. Ever heard of float tanks before?
Is that like a sensory deprivation?
Yeah. Yeah, so there's actually one around here, and a friend of mine used to work there. So I used to go here and there. They're kind of expensive. One session was like $60.
How long do you get to be in there?
You get to be in there for about an hour. I think it was like an hour I was in there. So it's like six. It's like kind of like the price of a massage or, you know, anything that's
like a Reiki healing.
Yeah. Could be something like that too. Like, yeah. So it's like an hour long. And these pools, these float tanks, these sensory deprivation tanks are filled with water, and you become buoyant in this water when you lay in it. Of course, you take off your clothes and all that stuff, and you might want to rinse off and just, you know, just get yourself loose and comfortable, and you take off your clothes and you go into this tank. And the tank is filled with water, and you're buoyant because it's filled with magnesium. And so not only is it relaxing because of the environment, which I'll explain shortly, but you have magnesium, like a whole bunch of magnesium salt in the water. So you're able to float with that much effort. You just lay there. And it's as if you're like in this just this ocean, just floating around. And the magnesium gets absorbed into your skin, which is the best way to get magnesium. And magnesium is a nutrient that we're lacking just in civilization and culture in general. And caffeine also heavily depletes that amongst other micronutrients. But yeah, so it gets absorbed in your skin, and that aids in your relaxation because magnesium is really good for relaxation and also good to take at the end of the day if you are anxiety ridden or whatever to relax. So yeah, so you're already starting to absorb this. You start to get relaxed, and because of the environment, which it cuts off your sensory, your senses. Like it's pitch black in there. There's no sound whatsoever. And you put plugs in your ears just in case anything creeps in from the outside or whatever. And there's like little pods that people use for sensory deprivation tanks that you go in. It's small. Or in my case, it was kind of like its own little, it's like a small little room with a big tub in the middle. And you just lay in there. And during, when you're floating there, if you just go into like a meditative state, it's really easy, 10-15 minutes in there, if you're at least semi used to it. You just go into meditative state, and it's really deep and profound. Like you're floating there, and you don't really feel any borders of the tank. You're just kind of like floating in the middle of nowhere and pitch black, and you start to get all the effects from meditation, like the early effects of like color swirls that you get, and you know, various stages of meditation, which include color swirls once you're like starting to get into it, and you start to feel yourself getting deeper in like the theta brainwave state, and you start to become a lot more relaxed. And in these tanks, not only are you meditating, but it's a lot easier to get visualizations, visions, all sorts of weird dreamlike states that you're conscious but you're not conscious. And some of the things I've seen in there during meditating in there, it was just like I seen this form of a demon sitting in front of me, and it was almost like a dreamlike type of thing, but it was like this demon sitting in front of me, and I asked it a question. I forget what I asked it. I wish I remember, but the demon ended up saying that he was a part of me, and I was like, what the f-? Yeah, I was like, what? It's like, so it was like a signal to me, you know, maybe something within the darkness within, which is like meditation, you get in touch with a lot of parts of yourself that you didn't know were there. Not to say it's a bad thing. Everyone has a darkness within, but yeah, just incorporating meditation and flow tanks is fascinating. And to wrap up meditation as a topic, when I was telling CJ earlier about modern magic, there's another, the self-initiation book that I said by Franz Bardon. His book, Initiation of Hermetics, his first one out of the series of three that take the aspiring magician or you know, to be able to use his mind in the way possible and all the tools necessary. He has three very important versions of meditation that you're supposed to acquaint yourself with right in the beginning. And the first one involves, like we had said earlier, just watching the thoughts go by, not entertaining them. So you do that. And then once you master that to a certain degree, the second important one involves visualization. So you'll hold in your mind a certain anything. And for me, I chose something sacred. If you're Christian, you can visualize Christ, or you can visualize him on the cross and try to empathetically just kind of feel what he was feeling. So you become closer and intimate to that. So that's a very contemplative way of using meditation. So you use visualization and you hold that image in your head for as long as you can, or for at least for a set time. And the third important one, after you've mastered that to a certain degree, is you sit there and in a typical meditative style, and you force out all thoughts in your mind as best as you can, and just keep forcing them out. One comes in, you force it out. And it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of strength to do it mentally. But over time, it becomes easier. So that's just my rant on the different styles of meditation, or some of the ones that are out there.
Well, that was pretty awesome.
But yeah, I mean, I kind of want to touch upon contemplation before we end this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, contemplation is, I mean, we all do it, whether it's throughout the day, a lot of people do it sitting on the toilet in the shower. That's where a lot of our best thinking gets done.
Yeah, usually it's like mundane or stressful types of contemplation, but since it's been a focal point of this episode, there's a couple forms of contemplation that are very important. One's intellectual contemplation, and that's when you just kind of, and this involves meditation, you kind of go into a meditative state, or you just take yourself away from all chaos in the world, and you hone in on a certain idea that you have that you want to elaborate on, concept or anything like that, and you just focus on it, and you meditate on it. And you sit there and just allow the mind to settle a little bit, and you focus on the idea, and like I said, you still the waters, and you are able to see that idea more lucidly, more clearly. And if you want to know a lot about something, or like learn the attributes of something, or whatever, or just get subjective ideas on something, you just focus on that one thing, and you think about that one thing and hone in on it, and you start to branch off and get all these rudiments that revolve around that idea, and you can elaborate on the idea. And then when you come out of it, you pretty much extracted from your meditation and contemplation various other ideas that are related to that concept that you otherwise would have been harder to get if you were just like living your normal life and all these things are happening around you, and it's really hard to just think clearly on a certain idea. And second, and the final thing I have to say about contemplation is one I've done a lot of, and even intellectual contemplation, you know, just for philosophical ideas and things like that. But in terms of spiritual contemplation, that's when you kind of, you know, there's contemplation of prayer, contemplation of sacred scriptures. You take like a line in scripture, contemplation on just an idea that involves, you know, God or any type of anything that's spiritual, anything. And you do the same type of process and you hone in on that. You can visualize it. You just keep that. You keep focused on that in your mind during a meditation, and just allow things to stick to it like a magnet that otherwise would have been harder to attract. And you can glean a lot of useful or profound information on it that, like I said, otherwise you wouldn't be able to attract to it because of the chaos and the ordinary world. So yeah, that's pretty much an overview of meditation, contemplation, and a touching of grounding.
I kind of hope you guys walk away with that, something from this today that you can apply to, if not your everyday life, at least semi-frequently. And we really hope, as we continue through this podcast, that you continue to take more things away from what we're talking about. And we are going to steadily get more complicated with certain things, and there will be more instructionals in the future.
Awesome. Yeah. And once more, thank you guys as well for any reviews, any feedback, any recent listeners, anyone who's even dabbled in the show or is just listening to this and will never, you know, you'll never come back. We really appreciate your time for listening in. And if you guys have any questions, as usual, you can feel free to message us on our Instagram page, mystery.stone.podcast. And we also have a Gmail. You can also message us, mystery.stone.podcast@gmail.com. And thank you so much. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to CJ. And we really, really appreciate your time.
Yeah. And if you want to join our Facebook group, we're serious, but a little less serious. We do some fun stuff in there today. We'll keep doing that. We're always grateful to have you. And tell your friends. You know, if you have people in your life who are practicing or just getting into metaphysics, or maybe they're a veteran, you know, tell them. They're like, hey, I listened to this podcast and these guys are like the best podcasters to ever exist. you don't have to say that. We already know it's true.
we're kidding and all, but yeah, no, just having some fun.
We're only kidding if you don't think we're unless you do think we're the best. In that case, thank you so much. We appreciate
it, but you know, in the most humble manner possible as usual.
Yeah, but you know, tell your friends, subscribe.
Yeah.
We love it. We really hope that we see you guys again.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Yeah. Blessed be.